All right. Brother Bill, what do you have for us?
Well, Jim, I'm getting confused. I was studying Abraham and Hagar, his handmaiden. You know what he sent her on? And it says that she put the water pot, picked up the child, and she left, and then she put the child under a bush. But then in another part of the Bible, it talks about that Sarah was upset that Hagar's child was 14 years old. And what's his son's name now? Got me picked up on
Isaac.
I'm confused when they're talking about a child here that she put under a bush and went a boat.
He wasn't a baby, Bill.
He
was about 14, 15 years old. She took out there, and it was hot. And she told this boy, lay down there. Lay your head on this pillow here. Then she went off to pray to God. That's what happened. She thought they were going to die.
I was picking it up from the Bible.
Oh, he wasn't a little bitty baby like this.
Okay,
you think about putting the baby underneath the child underneath the table, but he was a big child, okay? And she laid him, told him, take a nap over here, lay down, stay in the shade, which they did in the heat of the day. A lot of times they'd find some kind of shade. All she did was just find a shade for him, go over there, and then she went and cried to Jehovah. She prayed to Jehovah. And Jehovah answered her, and he said, because he is Abraham's son, I'm going to bless him. He's going to become a mighty nation and all this stuff. You know, he would. But there's where you have the problem with the Arab nations. That's where they all come from. All right? And it was Abraham's sin. You as a father or a mother, can curse your children the way you act and the way you live.
By example.
By example. And it rubs off on them. The bad things rub off on them. It just does. We look at that and it happens. All right. Do you have any other questions about what we've done? If not, this is test day. All right. What kind of calf did Aaron make? We're going to look at about this for just a minute. What was it? Huh? A golden calf. All right. What about that golden calf? Where did they get the gold to make the golden calf?
All the jewelry melted down and made the jewelry.
Okay, they took the earrings out of their ears and the nose rings out of their noses and gave them to Aaron, and he threw it in the fire, and out came the golden calf. All right. Is there more to that story than that?
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
The people, they wanted someone to worship, even though Moses was on top of the hill.
Moses was up getting and that's where we're getting the law here. This is what's going on down below. That's why I'm bringing this in. While Moses is getting the law, now we're getting the law where we are right now, what's going on down below on the other side of the curtain? Okay. Now, Aaron is down there, and it's going to tell us later on, Aaron's down there, and the people are having a wall-eyed conniption fit. They're griping, grumbling, going on to God. Give us a God we can see. We don't know what happened to Moses. We don't know what happened. And here Jehovah had led them out like he had. But he's out of sight now. They can hear the mountain rumbling and everything else and the fire up there. Well, maybe Moses is dead. So, what did Aaron do? What did he specifically do? What kind of occupation did Aaron have? He was a goldsmith. All right. Now, if they had a golden calf, the golden calf about the size of a calf, how much gold would that be? Lots of gold. All right. All right. Lots of gold. Okay.
It was big.
It was big. But, basically, what's the rest of the story?
Well, Moses came down and broke his tablet and then took all the stuff and threw it in the river.
Okay. What did he do with the golden calf?
He broke it all up and threw it in the river, I think.
He burned it, didn't he?
Okay, melted it.
Uh-huh.
I thought he grounded it up.
He did. He burned it, and he ground it up into dust. Now, what does that tell you? That the golden calf wasn't all golden. The golden calf was a wooden form. Aaron had to carve out a wooden form And then he probably took the gold that they had and beat it out in plates and gold-plated this wooden form. Okay? How many of you ever studied that enough to do that?
I didn't know that. I always questioned that. How could they build it gold?
Okay, then he gold-plated this calf. It was wood over gold over wood. And then when he came down from the mountain, he set it on fire and burned it. Well, it had a gold film or plating over it, and he burned it down to ashes, and there was pieces of gold in there, and then he pounded it up, the ashes and all, and threw it in the water and said, drink it. Drink your God. Now, what was the name of the calf? What was the name of the calf?
Betsy?
Yeah. Brother, that's good. Boots? Betsy? What was the name of the calf? Now, come on, this is the test. What was the name of the calf? Jehovah.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
He named the calf Jehovah. This is Jehovah that brought you out of Egypt. They wanted a God they could see. And they knew who brought them out of Egypt, Jehovah, but they took and carved this calf out of wood, gold-plated it, and named it Jehovah. All right? Now we're back up on the mountain. Okay?
Where do you find that in the Bible?
Huh? That's in between the lines, brother. It was gold, okay?
I agree that.
Okay?
Gold.
Now he burned it. Can you burn gold?
You melted it.
You can melt gold, but you can't burn it. But they burned the calf. So all the rabbis said, the ancient rabbis said, this had to be a wooden calf with gold plated.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Where did you learn this other
From the Hebrew. From the Hebrew and the Hebrew commentaries and the Hebrew lexicons. When you go look at it. And it was a beaten image. Beaten. Beaten. You don't beat out a molten calf, do you? We get the idea that it was a molten calf. That's from the television and the movies, okay? But it is a beaten form. Now, how did they beat out? Gold plating was in sheets, wasn't it, back then? We find out later on that many things that they had was wood frames with beaten gold covers on it. So the molten calf was exactly the same. It wasn't really a molten calf, but it was a wooden calf, a wooden frame, with a beaten, formed, molded, or a formed over that wooden deal. And the same terms that they used in Hebrew was the terms that they used when they made the altar and all of the stuff that was gold-plated. The boards that were in the tabernacle, see, we're going to get to them. The boards were what?
Okay.
Wood with golden plates over the wood. Okay, the same way. The same terms in Hebrew.
My question is, how do you know if they named it Jehovah?
Because he said, this is Jehovah that brought you out of Egypt. Yeah, it says that in Hebrew. It says that in Hebrew also. This is the God, the Jehovah. Not the God, but Jehovah that brought you out of Egypt. This is it. We're going to get to it. Okay, you're going to see it here in a little bit. Let's finish this, and then we're going to go over there where the golden calf is. All right? We're going to go to the golden calf and when they introduce that to us. I just gave you just a little bit because this is what's going on down the mountain while Moses is up on the mountain. Okay, they're down the mountain with Aaron now. Aaron did this. And now Moses is up on the mountain. Okay, he's up on the mountain. So where did we finish last week? 21 and verse 30? 21, 30? 21 and verse 30. All right. Now the subject here is PL and PD. PL and PD. All right. And we're going to get into the tabernacle also. All of this stuff. 21 and verse 30. Exodus 21 and verse 30. All right. I guess I have to read with my glasses because I can't read without them anymore. I'm so used to reading without them. It talked about the ox, if he gores a woman or a man to death, and Because he could be infected with some kind of disease, you know, mad cow disease, anthrax, whatever, rabies, they said, don't eat it. If it gores somebody to death, don't eat it. And then the ox is supposed to be stoned. He said, let's start out with verse 28 because 30 is where we quit, but let's go back up. If an ox gores a man or woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall go unpunished. If, however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring, its owner has been warned, yet he does not confine it, and it kills a man or woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. Now, if a guy had a mean ox, a mean bull out there, and he did not confine it and take care of it and protect people from it, and it killed somebody, then he was guilty of murder. All right? He's guilty of murder. All right? Number 30. If a ransom is demanded of him, he shall give the redemption of his life whatsoever is demanded of him. In other words, if he wants to redeem himself from this, he's got to pay, make a payment. All right? Number 31. Whether it gores a son or a daughter, it shall be done to him according to the same rule. Okay? Verse number 32. Rex, are you there?
No.
Exodus 21, verse 32. Okay, Exodus 21, verse 32. Anybody there? Brother Floyd, are you there? Thirty shekels of silver. Why 30 shekels of silver? Why 30 shekels of silver? You know? Huh? That's why. How much a slave cost? How much did they sell? How much did Judas sell Jesus for? 30 pieces or shekels of silver. The price of a slave. All right. There is for the price of a slave is set down. All right. All right, number 33. Rex, are you over there?
Yeah, if a man opens a pit or digs a pit and does not cover it over, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restitution. He shall give money to its owner, and the dead animal shall become his.
All right, now since this animal fell down and got killed, they can go ahead and eat it. All right. There was no disease involved here, no danger involved. God is really protecting these people from themselves and from their greed. All right? Number 35. Fernando.
One man's ox hurts another so that it dies. They shall sell the live ox, divide its price equally, and also they shall divide the dead ox.
All right. So there we go. Just what we call here is justice. This is divine justice. This is what the Jehovah is telling them. This is how you're going to be fair with each other. Number,
barbecue.
Huh? Big barbecue, huh? All right. Number 36, Sister Andino.
If it was known that the ox tended to trot in time past and its owner has not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own.
Okay, now, if you've got a bad animal, a bad actor, and it gets out and hurts somebody, you are responsible for it, especially if it's been in this habit before. You've got to protect people, even from your ox, okay? Chapter number 22. And here we jump all the way, we can jump all the way into the sycamore tree in the New Testament when we read this one. All right? Brother Floyd. 22 and verse 1.
If a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for an ox, 4 sheep for a sheep.
All right. Five oxen for 5 to 1 and 4 to 1. All right. If he goes and he steals and he gets caught stealing, this is a deterrent to thievery, is what it is. If you go steal somebody's cow, how many cows are you going to have to get back? Huh?
Six.
Huh?
Six.
Five. You're going to have to give him five cows to replace the one. If my stepdad had known this a long time ago, he wouldn't have been out there stealing all his horses and cows that he did a long time ago. Anyway, that's an inside joke kind of. My son asked me the other day, he said, Dad, did you go look up your stepdad on the internet? He's real famous. I said, he is. I said, is he on the internet? He said, go Google his name, Dale Otto Remling, and see all the things he did. He's a very famous criminal. That was the one that raised me. I didn't have much raising. My own dad got killed robbing a liquor store in Long Beach. My own father. And then the next one I had was a world famous criminal. You don't have to go that way. It just tells you, okay? If you go look him up on the internet and see, he's also the one that flew out of that Michigan prison in 1975 in the helicopter. That was the one. That, you remember that one? That was him. In a helicopter. They landed in prison. He jumped in there. He figured all that out. So you don't have to go that way. I'm just telling you. Yeah, he was. Oh, she's kind of like you. Well, it was. He got put over here in this part of the prison where they didn't have guns. They had video surveillance in this part of the prison. So he threw a red handkerchief down. They landed right where the handkerchief was. He had to sweet talk this woman in letters and got her to get her son to hijack this helicopter. They got the helicopter in there, and then they went out. And their rendezvous was in Bakersfield after he got out of prison. Let's go on now. This is just a little sidetrack here, okay? All right. Number two, Brother Luis.
Yes.
Yeah. 22 and verse 2.
If in the place of breaking in the thief be found in his mind so that he dies, he dieth. There is due for him no shedding of blood.
All right. Now let's read that in New American Standard, Brother Mike.
If the thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account.
All right, now blood is sacred in the Bible, isn't it? We even find out in the Old Testament before the days of Noah that you couldn't even kill an animal. If you killed an animal and shed that animal's blood, you were guilty of blood shedding. All right? Blood's very, very important because that's a life. All right? Now here, if a thief is breaking into your house, now what kind of houses did they have back then? Huh? Can you break into a tent?
Adobe.
What?
Adobe.
Like adobe rock mud wall houses. And people would dig through the wall of the house. They would get in there and they'd dig through the wall of the house and they'd break it in. Usually they'd dig it into the house when nobody was there. Okay? And they'd dig into the house, break through the wall of the house, and go in there and steal. Now, if somebody was in that house when that thief was breaking in and they killed him while he was breaking in that house, the guy that killed him was innocent. He wasn't going to be tried because he was caught in the act of stealing, wasn't he? All right?
If you kill him outside, you've got to drag him in, right?
That's the modern law. But where did the modern law come from? If somebody is breaking into your house today, breaking into your...
You'll go to jail.
What?
You better not touch him or you'll go to jail.
No, this isn't what you're doing. Yeah.
If he breaks into your house and he has a gun in his hand and he's threatening you, you can only stop him.
You can't shoot him.
You can shoot him. Okay? You can shoot him and stop him. You can't try to shoot him and kill him. Now, if he's out there trying to steal your car, you cannot shoot him. You got to let him go because he's only bought in property. If he threatens you, you can defend yourself. All right? That goes way back, people. It goes way back. You think some of those laws are they're on the side of the criminal? Let's look and see what God says about it, okay? Let's look at this. If the thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. But number three now. Number three. Hernando.
But if the sun has risen on him, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account.
he shall surely make restitution. If he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his
debt. All right. Now, in the daylight, thieves don't usually steal in the daylight too much, do they? They want to hide in the cover of darkness. But if he's caught in the daylight doing this, what do you do with him? You catch him? And if he's broke, you sell him for what he stole or is going to steal. He gets sold as a slave. That'll take care of the thieves if they were out slaving, wouldn't they? If they become, it would be a great deterrent to thievery. Number four. If what he stole is actually found alive in his possession, whether ox or donkey or sheep, he shall pay double. Now, what happened over there, Zacchaeus, in Jericho? All right, what happened there in Jericho when the Lord came along down through there, the great crowd there, and up in the tree was this little short guy named Zacchaeus, remember? What did Zacchaeus say when he got down? He said, I'm going to pay back sevenfold. He was going to meet the law because he was a thief. He said, everybody that I've defrauded and cheated, I will pay them back according to the law and even more. All right? He was going back to the law. All right? Even in the New Testament, we find out the foundation of the New Testament. Many things that happen in the New Testament are in the Old Testament. That's why we're taking time to look at the law. I hope it's not boring you to death. Okay? It's not boring, is it? Okay, let's go on. Number six, Rex. Six.
The fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes so that that grain or the standing grain of the field itself is consumed, he who started the fire shall surely make restitution.
Well, we have a lot of this problem in California, don't we? Huh? What about all the big fires that been going on lately? Huh? Yeah. Huh?
Did you read number five?
Did we? Oh, no, we didn't, brother. Read number five. I missed number five.
If a man lets the field or vineyard be spread bare and lets his animal loose so that it grazes in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard.
Okay, now if your cow or your horse gets loose, your field is grazed flat down to the dirt, okay? I know a lot of you don't know about animals grazing, but have you ever gone to the coast or something and you look out there and you look and one side of the fence there's grass and the other side is down to the ground? Now if you let your field be grazed down to the ground with your animals, you got a lot of animals, and then you take your animals and you turn them loose in your neighbor's field, and it gets in his vineyard, his great vineyard, or his orchard, or his field, and eats up whatever is there, guess what you have to do? You have to replace it with the best that you have. The best that you have in your field. What is this taking care of?
People doing like
taking...
Corporations
looking big. They ought to fine the oil company for devastating America. This would work, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a conglomerate.
Yeah. But anyway, let's look at it now. This is common crimes in the day that we live in today, isn't it? These are common crimes. Does God have a recipe for this? Did he have it a long time ago? Yeah. All right. Number eight.
Joe,
have you got a Bible there?
Yeah,
Joe, number eight.
Seven.
Oh, that's right. Number seven. We jumped on. All right. All right, the thief is going to pay what?
Double.
All right, for whatever he stole. But now you, if a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep for him, and it's stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, he shall pay double. I remember Mike Maryland talked about the people that lived, that farmer that lived out on the farm. Well, he went and sold a piece of land, he got his money, and he gave it to Maryland's dad to keep for him, and he put it in the freezer or something, didn't he?
Well, he...
hiding in under the potatoes.
Anyway, he was afraid.
They would be talking about putting it in the freezer.
Yeah.
If anybody broke in, it wouldn't be there.
Yeah. Anyway, people used to do this a long time ago. When they didn't have banks and everything like that, people would take. They have you ever heard of somebody burying all their money in a fruit jar underneath a fence pole someplace?
Yeah.
Mr. Van Wert did that out there and couldn't figure out where the fence post was. He couldn't remember. He dug up the whole farm looking for his money. The next time he went and gave it to Marilyn's dad to watch for him. Okay, this was common practice back then. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if you put it in some of these real estate companies, it might as well rot. Brother Bill.
Joanne's granddad, when he was on his deathbed, had all of the kids come over, and he told them, go out in the shed, and we're to dig, and dug up a hole in a mason jar full of money. And he divided the money up before he died.
Yeah.
It was
that's the way things were done a long time ago. Brother Floyd, you ever hear that in your past?
My grandmother did that.
Yeah. All right, number... Where do we start, Brother Hernando? I'm not going to do this wrong this time. Is it number 8?
Number 8.
Brother Rex.
If the lease is not caught, then the owner of the house shall appear before the judges to be there. Determine whether he laid his hand on his neighbor's property.
All right. In other words, if you take a guy's money to hold for him, you better be responsible for it. All right. You better be responsible for it. Number nine, Brother John.
For any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or clothing, or for any kind of lost thing which another claims to be this his, the cause of both parties shall become before the judges, and whomever the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor.
Pay double to his neighbor. That takes care of all the skullduggery in it. All right? He shall pay double. Now let's go on a little bit further. Number 10, Brother Mike.
If a man gives his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep for him, and it dies, or is hurt, or is driven away while no one is looking, oath before the Lord shall be made by the two of them that he has not laid hands on his neighbor's property, and its owner shall accept it, and he shall not make restitution.
Number 12. All right, that's pretty self-evident there. If he makes an oath. Now, if you made an oath, and it was a false oath, you were guilty of death. That was a capital punishment. If they found out that he had sworn wrong, he was a dead man. Okay? Well, that's pretty strong stuff. They ought to do that down in the court today. Somebody gets up there and swears in the court, and they lie, and they ought to just chop their head off right now. Take care of it. That'd be it. Brother, go ahead. Go on there, brother. Number 12.
Me?
Yeah.
But if, in fact, it is stolen from him, he shall make restitution to the owner of it. If it is torn to pieces by a beast, then he shall bring it as evidence, and he shall not make good what was torn.
All right, number 14, Brother David.
And if the man borrows anything from his neighbor, and it is injured or dies while its owner is not with it, he shall make full restitution.
All right, if a man borrows anything from his neighbor, and is injured or dies while its owner is not with it, okay, now, I loan you my horse, Brother David, and you're out in your field plowing your field with this horse. Now, I'm not there, but the horse gets injured or gets killed or something, and you have it in your possession, you're responsible for the life of that animal. If something happens to it, then you're going to have to pay me for what happened. Now, if I'm there, it's a different story. If I'm there, it's a different story. Let's go on number 15 now. Number 15, Dave.
If its owner is with it, not make restitution. If it is hired, it came for its hire.
All right. Now, if I gave you a price for this animal, I'll give you $10 if you come and bring your horse and or donkey and plow my field out here. I got paid for it. If something happens to my donkey while I'm plowing your field, it's my fault. But if I borrow the animal, it's a different thing. All right, I'm responsible for it. Number 16. Number 16. All right. Brother Mike.
And if a man seduces a virgin who is not engaged and lies with her, he must pay a dowry for her to be his wife.
All right. All right. By the way, this word virgin here is Bethula. That is really a virgin, one that's been separated. Okay? There's different terms in Hebrew. The Alma is another one. And sometimes it's translated virgin. It really isn't a virgin. But this is a virgin. Okay? This woman had not been with any man. And a man seduces her. All right? He seduces her. He marries her. That's it. And he's going to pay her dowry. That's it. He's not going to go out and do this and run off. Sister Andina.
In Deuteronomy, it says that the price is 50 shekels.
Yeah, 50 shekels.
The price of a bride.
Yeah, the 50 shekels, the price of a bride. So now he has just a little bit less than a slave. All right? A little a female, 50 shekels. Oh, yeah, it's more than a yeah. Yeah, it's almost double the price of a slave, all right? A good woman is worth twice as much as a slave, almost. Bill, I knew that couldn't get by you. All right, number 17. Number 17. Brother Mike. All right, Brother Bill, I'm going to have to shut you up. Read number 17 for me.
I don't know if you can. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the bride price of virgins. In other words, dad could make twice as much by getting the money and then not selling her and reselling her to somebody else.
Well, maybe he doesn't like the guy. The man is not worthy of his daughter. All right? The man is not worthy of his daughter. He must pay the dowry for her anyway. Regardless. He's got to pay for her regardless. That'll stop him from running around seducing virgins, won't it? Unless he's got a lot of money. But pretty soon it's going to be his neck. All right, number 18. Number 18, Brother Luis.
The sorceress shall thou not suffer to live.
All right. A sorceress, what in the world is that?
It's a witchcraft person.
What?
Witchcraft. Witchcraft.
All right. A person,
magic,
witchcraft. Now, God didn't allow that among his people, did he? He said, don't allow her to live. And then, the next verse here, number 19, is kind of an unusual verse. But we find out this had happened in the among the Canaanites so often. Brother John.
Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death.
All right. The Canaanites, venereal disease. Animals carry venereal diseases. The Canaanites, when God went into the land of Canaan, had his people go into the land of Canaan, those people were infested with venereal disease of all sorts. And one of the reasons why people can't reproduce, if people can't reproduce, what is one of the reasons? Venereal diseases. Now, could Israel be fruitful and multiply if they had the venereal diseases that these people had? No. So God was protecting them. And he told them to do what when they went into the land?
Kill
what?
Animals.
Kill every man, woman, and child, and all of the animals. That was the reason for it.
Contamination.
They were contaminated. All right. Number 20. Here we go. Here is the problem. What's up down on the mountain and what's up on the mountain? Brother Rex, number 20.
He who sacrifices to any god other than to the Lord alone shall be utterly destroyed.
All right. This is exactly what they were doing. They were bringing sacrifices to the golden calf. Of course, they call the golden calf Jehovah, and we're going to get to that later on. All right. Number 21. And you shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not take advantage of a stranger. You shall not do it. Shall not take advantage of a pilgrim. All right? A pilgrim. A stranger. All right? You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. Matthew 23 and verse 14. Mark 20, 40 through 43, Luke 20, 46 through 47, and Mark 7 and 11. All right, these are all verses. Can anyone go to those verses? All right, go to Matthew 23, 14, Mark 12, 40 through 43, Luke 20, 46 and 47, and Mark 7 and 11. And I'm going to read on here. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. You, if you afflict him at all, and if he cries out to me, I will surely hear his cry, and my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives will become widows, and your children fatherless. Now this is in the Old Testament. What happened to Israel in the New Testament? I will kill you with a sword. How many of those Jews that were guilty of oppressing widows and their mothers and their fathers, how many of them were killed when Caesar attacked Jerusalem and burned the whole place down and leveled it? Who's got Matthew 23:14? Brother John, are you there?
Yes. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive great condemnation.
All right. Where did it come from? Right here in the book of Exodus. Right there, all the way back here. Mark 12, 40 through 43. Who's got that? Mark 12, 40 through 43. Sister Andino, are you there? Who's got Mark 12?
I do.
You got it, Brother John?
Mark 12, 40. Who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these will receive greater condemnation. You want to keep going?
Yeah, through 40.
Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadron. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had.
All right. Mark 7 and 11 and Luke 20, 46 and 47. Are you there, John? Dave?
7:11 is, but you say if a man says to his father or his mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by as whoredom, that is to say, given to God.
All right. Now, a man, he gets up, he gets rich. And his parents are left behind. And he gets out. He makes a good living and everything else. And he won't. And the law says to support the mother and the father. He is their old age pension. All right. But he's greedy and selfish, and he won't do that. And then he says, "I dedicate everything that I have to the temple." And he says, "Corban, that's what it is." All right. And then they suffer. Now over here in the Old Testament, it says, you shall not afflict a widow or orphan. If you afflict him at all, and if he cries to me, I will surely hear his cry. In verse 24, and my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children will become fatherless. All right. There we are. And that's, well, we got a little bit more time today. Number 25. If you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you are not to act as a creditor to him. You shall not charge him interest. All right. You know. Number 26. Brother David. Here we have this in the New Testament too. Jesus comments on this. No, that's not it.
What part are we at?
We're in Exodus 22 and verse 26. Exodus. All right.
I'm behind.
All right. Exodus 22 and verse 26. Is anyone there?
I have it.
Okay, Sister Andino.
Did you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge? You shall return it to him before the sun goes down.
All right. Now, if your neighbor borrows money from you and you want collateral, and you take his clothing from him for his collateral, for his clothes, before it gets cold at night, you better give his coat back to him so he can wear it, because he's going to be cold and you're going to be the reason that he was cold. So in the daytime, you can take his coat, but at nighttime, you better let him have his blanket to cover himself with. All right? And verse number 27, Sister Andino.
For that is his only covering. It is his garment for his skin. While he's sleeping, and it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious.
All right. Number 28, Brother David.
You shall not curse God nor curse a ruler of your people.
All right, you shall not curse God nor a ruler of your people, because God put that ruler. He's talking to Israel right here. He's talking to Israel. He said, you're not going to curse God and you're not going to curse your leader because God put him over you. All right. And verse number 29 now.
You shall not delay the offering from your harvest and your vineyard. The firstborn of your sons shall give to me.
Okay, what happened in Egypt? It was the death of the firstborn, wasn't it? All right. The firstborn is holy to God all the way back. And this, who was Jesus? God's firstborn in this world. Sister Andino.
Going back on the verse 28. Ruler, does that mean like a government place or a pastor?
Primarily, it's talking about Israel, number one. Later on in the New Testament, in the book of Romans and things, we have another one where it talks about being subject to the governments where you are. And they take, and that takes this from right here. All right? All right, number 29 and 30. 31. All right? You shall not delay an offering from your harvest or your vintage. The firstborn of your son shall be given to me. Now, the harvest, the first fruits of the harvest, what does that represent?
Huh?
Put
God first.
Huh?
Christ.
What? Brother John?
Tithe.
The first fruit? Well, it's talk about a tithe also, but that's later on. The first fruit, you take your first ripe fruits and you give it to the Lord. The first fruits represent the resurrection. That's where you take and you put the seed in the ground and the first fruits come up and the seed was resurrected and produced. And the very first fruit, you take and you give it to God, believing that He will bring the rest of the harvest and you'll have a great harvest. All right, trusting Him that lightning and rain and hail and all that won't wipe out the rest of the harvest. So you give the first fruits to Him. And the first fruits are always a type of the resurrection.
Doesn't it say right there, the firstborn?
And the firstborn also, the firstborns of your sons you shall give to me. In other words, all your children are the Lord's, your firstborn of the Lord's. And then it says in verse 30, Brother Hernando.
You shall do the same with your oxen and with your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day you shall give it to me.
On the eighth day you shall resurrect it, or you shall sacrifice it to me. Now what happens to your firstborn son on the eighth day? Circumcision. Circumcision. You sign the covenant of God on the eighth day. All right. And number 31, Brother Hernando.
You shall be holy men to me. Therefore, you shall not eat any flesh torn to pieces in your field. You shall throw it to the dogs.
All right. Don't go out there and be so greedy as to take an animal that's been killed out in the field and go ahead. That's what we call roadkill. Did you know that there was a law about roadkill in the Bible? Huh? How many of you knew that? Huh? How many of you ever gone into some of these places out there and it says roadkill helper? Have you ever seen that?
Roadkill cafe?
Roadkill cafe, roadkill helper. That's what it's talking about. Don't be greedy. You could infect yourself with some kind of disease if you're so greedy as you take that roadkill and take it home and cook it. All right. All right. Right here is where we're going to start next week, is 23 and verse 1. All right. And today is the 7th?
December 7th.
Oh, this is Pearl Harbor Day. This is Pearl Harbor Day. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this class today. I hope you learned something from it. Did you learn about the law about roadkill now? All right, now, Sister Andino. Yes. Exodus 32 and verse 8. Read that, would you, brother? Yeah. We're going to be over there, but let's go ahead and read that one right now. This is for you, brother Rex.
32 and 8, right?
Uh-huh.
They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, so they have made for themselves a molten calf and have bowed themselves down thereto. I have sacrificed thereto and have said, "This is your Elohim, O Israel, who have brought thee up from the top of the land of Egypt."
All right. This is your God. This is your Elohim. This is your Jehovah. All right, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.
Thank you,
brother. Yeah. We were going to get to it anyway, but it's good to have it today. All right, there it is. All right, there's your God that brought you out of Egypt. That's what Aaron said. They wanted a God that they could see and a religion they could feel, and they had both of it right there that day, didn't they? All right. Brother David, where are you?